So as I said earlier, two Gauteng learners from the Davidson Skills School out on a school excursion on Monday afternoon drowned in the Hennops River. Many of you are responding to this. Doreen says, John, very sad these boys died. Feel sorry for the educators. Schools must stop these outings to rivers. These accidents can happen even with supervision. Schools must stop these types of outings. And if you were listening earlier, we had Johan who just said you cannot go for any water-based activities, whether it's canoeing, whether it's swimming, whatever it might be, without young people being provided with a life jacket. The preventive is really front and center in this conversation today, as perhaps it should have been in many other conversations. And so we thought we'd bring in the organization Life Saving South Africa and welcome to the show, President Daya Suduth. A very good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you. Thank you so much for your time. What are your thoughts on this? Because I'm sure a lot of people have come to you and said these things are preventable, and yet I would think preventing them is not straightforward. Where would you start? What have been your first thoughts when you've heard about these tragedies?
Well, a very good afternoon to you, John, and good afternoon to your listeners. At the outset, on behalf of Life Saving South Africa, we'd certainly like to extend our condolences to the families that lost the young children. And, you know, we really hope that they will be given strength in this difficult time. John, coming back to your question, as you mentioned, these incidents that we've had, very much like the Latoya Templeton incident earlier this year, they're absolutely preventable. The first thing that comes to mind as far as we are concerned is that any activity around any water body should make provision for safety officers, should be make provision for lifeguards. There's Life Saving South Africa trains thousands of young people, many of them who do voluntary duties on beaches, at inland waterways, at pools, during the peak season. Lots of them obviously go on to get professional jobs with municipalities and hospitality industries. And if you look at the statistics, you will see that despite the fact that there are thousands of people at the popular beaches, you hardly ever hear of any drowning incidents because the lifeguards are present and they execute their preventive measures, right? Now, the same principle can be applied here. With this, whether it was a team building exercise or an excursion, like the other incidents that you've had where school children were taken to resorts or to beaches, or, you know, if they just simply contact Life Saving South Africa, we'll be able to arrange, whether it's a beach manager or a voluntary club, or these unemployed lifeguards to accompany the school kids or to, you know, be contracted for that weekend, surely paying them a couple of hundred rand for the weekend's work. They'll be able to use that for their studies or for whatever.
Absolutely. And we'll talk numbers in a moment, but I want to just get your thoughts on this. One of our listeners, Johan, very passionate about saying that if anyone's going to go out in these activities, they've got to be given some kind of flotation device. Now, he spoke of a life jacket. I don't know if there are alternatives to that. It's a long time since I've worn anything like that myself. But firstly, how available are these things? Secondly, are they expensive? And thirdly, would they make a decisive difference?
Well, look, I won't comment on the cost factor. Johan is correct. Personal flotation devices, particularly in the form of life jackets, could be a lifesaver. But I think, you know, it mustn't give an assurance that you're going to be absolutely safe. Any water body is a very dynamic environment.
Yes.
You know, it's absolutely dynamic. I mean, you know, even the most seasoned swimmers, paddle skiers, surfers, etc., also do get into trouble. But the whole point about having lifeguards is to make a risk assessment of that environment and be able to advise where exactly would be the safest for the kids to actually enter. Right. And then, of course, the lifeguards are there in case they get into trouble. But yes, we would also support that. The whole point about taking kids where their environments are safe, where there is provision. So if it was an adventure camp, for example, you know, adventure camps would then have those kind of life jackets available. Hopefully they would be age appropriate so that, you know, the size for a little kid would be appropriate. And then, of course, you got the added security, safety and supervision of the lifeguards to ensure they enter the water in a safe environment. The idea is to have kids have a pleasant and an enjoyable experience. So they,
Yeah. So I'm going to come back to some points. I want to go back to some very basic things, including how it is that people drown and whether there are moments at which the potential threat of water perhaps gets underestimated, how we could deal with that. That part of the conversation in a moment. We are with Dias Suduth, who is president of Life Saving South Africa. But at 19 minutes past five, let's just sort you out in terms of traffic. 702 Drive, we are responding to that tragedy at the Hennops River, northern part of Gauteng, where two young men, 13 and 16 from the Davyton Skills School, drowned in the Hennops River while out on a team building exercise. I'm not sure how to describe it, but an extracurricular activity of the school, organized, I'm sure, with great positive intention. Often these are to have conversations about leadership, about people getting to know each other, and a tragic end to it indeed, putting all of that very much into a very different kind of perspective. I'm with Dias Suduth, president of Life Saving South Africa. He was talking about the importance and value of having trained lifesavers at anything where young people are going to be engaging with water. Melissa sends this in response. A friend of mine organized a lifesaver for a child's birthday party and stated on the invitation to the parents that there would be one at the party. The cost was really reasonable. It actually surprised me. I think it's an excellent idea and it gives parents peace of mind. Mr. Suduth, I want to go back to something basic, and I hope this doesn't sound like a slightly garbled question, but is there a misunderstanding perhaps amongst people, or just a lack of understanding, firstly as to how you drown, but more crucially, how quickly and easily it can happen? I'm thinking, for example, about what you said, that often water bodies are volatile and have unseen perils to them. And there may be people who think, well, I'll just go in up to my knees and suddenly you're off your feet for reasons that you could never have expected.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in inland waterways, it's even more, it is not obvious when you have undertows or you have currents within that water body, and somebody would be totally unsuspecting. I mean, the same thing happens along the coastline where, you know, you have riptides that can actually form at any point of the day. That is why, for example, one of the huge hints we and clips we always emphasize is that when you're at the beach, only swim where the lifeguards are, because those guys have come to the beach, they've made an assessment of which section is the safest, put up the bathing beacons, and then ensure that the crowd stays within those bathing beacons. It, later in the day, if the conditions change and a riptide forms within the bathing area, they'll move that bathing area either left or right, and then you expect the bathing public to actually listen to the lifeguards and move to the safer zone. We often, our lifeguards often get hassled by the bathing crowds that want to fight to them and take off with them because they think they're being hassled. But the lifeguards are obviously performing a preventative. I think, John, let me illustrate this. You know, often when people watch the Olympic Games and a high performance event in the swimming pool, they see a lifeguard sitting there, maybe looking bored, and they say, "Well, you know, you have a Chad Leclerc and you have the tops of the world swimming. Why do you need a lifeguard?" Anything can happen. Even with accomplished swimmers. At any of the open water swims, you'll always see safety officers at the mid-mile mile or whatever event, triathlon events, you will always see safety officers because anything can happen in a dynamic environment like oceans, rivers, dams, etc. Now, bringing it back to the incident itself, our message, particularly to the education department, has been pretty clear. When teachers organize excursions, I think somebody said we need to stop this. I don't think the answer is in stopping it. The answer is in taking the preventative measures. Teachers organize an event. They tick the box for the bus. They tick the box for the tracksuits, for the meals, for the booking of the museum, etc. If they're going to a resort where there's a dam and pool, if they're going to taking the kids from the inland to the coast, there must be a checklist that says, you know, are there lifeguards at that particular venue?
Thank you so much, Daya Sudorth, President of Life Saving South Africa. I mean, it'd be interesting thing for us to explore in more detail going forward. Is this something that should just be a budgetary line item? Should it be a requirement that there should be a trained water safety officer? Call it a lifesaver. Maybe you need a broader concept. It's not just somebody who's at the water body, be it a pool or a stretch of river, but is also involved in educating young people about the potential threat they face should they decide to put their feet, shins, knees, thighs, and more into the water.